This morning, as we come, once again, the Apostle Paul was writing. He was writing to a church at a place called Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, he shares these words with us, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, oftentimes, you and I, in a very busy world that we live in, We get so caught up into the affairs that we are involved in, all of the events of life, that sometimes we just forget about our Thanksgiving list and how we truly and genuinely are blessed. This morning, in our fifth sermon on Thanksgiving, what I want to focus our attention on for the next few minutes is, what's on your Thanksgiving list for 2020. You see, when Paul was writing here to the church there in Thessalonica, and when he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," I think Paul wanted us to never forget the wonderful benefits that you and I possess in our Lord Jesus Christ and all of the wonderful things that he has done for us. This morning, as we reflect on our thoughts of Thanksgiving 2019, may we be reminded of all of the things this morning that we truly are grateful for. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 10, Daniel tells us that he was on his knees three times a day. He was praying and giving thanks before his God, praying and giving thanks. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15, it says to be thankful. In Romans, chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." This morning, in that text, where Paul spoke about giving thanks in everything, for it's the will of God, what I want us to think about this morning is what would be on your Thanksgiving list of being grateful for this morning. The first thing I want to speak about, and we looked a little bit at it 2 weeks ago, but I'm thankful for my faith. I'm thankful for my faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Do you realize this morning that there are many, many people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? In fact, out of some 7.5 billion people in the world, I think there are 2.8 billion that profess that they know Christ. But that would leave at least two-thirds of the world that would not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they may have heard of him as a great teacher. They may have heard of him as some great prophet. But to truly believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who is the one who comes to set men free and to give us everlasting life. There are so many in the world this morning that are missing that great opportunity. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." You see, I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning for my faith. What about you? Can you remember that day that you reached out by faith and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You see, there are those in the world that claim they are atheists, that they don't believe there is a God. There are those in the world who claim that they are agnostic. They say, "Well, there may be a God, there may not be a God. I don't know if there is, I don't know if there isn't, but I just cannot put my trust in something that I cannot see, touch, or explain." Well, I'm thankful this morning that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. I'm thankful this morning for my faith, and I'm thankful for the certainty to know that I am confident of the fact that I have eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There's a song that says, "My faith has found its resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." Let me tell you, the foundation of our faith this morning rests upon the fact of the living, true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is coming again one of these days. And while the world around you and me this morning is crumbling, let me tell you, his church is built upon the solid rock of the ages, and that rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign of the universe, and in him our salvation is secure and our salvation is complete. If you're taking notes this morning on your bulletin there, first of all, on my Thanksgiving list for 2019, I'm thankful for my faith. What about you? Secondly, this morning on my list would be, I'm thankful for my family. Last Sunday morning, we looked at that. We looked at families. We looked at dysfunctional families. We looked at families that are united. We looked at families. We talked about our personal family. We looked at David's family and his relationship. We looked at Job and his family and the things that were happening with him. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Lot. We saw some dysfunctional things that took place there among their servantships. I'm grateful this morning for family, aren't you? For my personal family, for your personal family, for our professional family, and for our spiritual family. I'm grateful for family. Many families will get together in another week. Our church family will get together this week on Wednesday night for our dinner. But I want you to know many families will be gathering in another week for Thanksgiving. A lot of families will be able to be together. There will be some families that will not be able to be together. But I want you to know it's so important. Family is hugely important in our life. Life is short. Life is passing. And we need our family. I'm thankful for this church family. Church has always been an integral part of my life. It's literally been my life. And I want you to know, I don't know what people do if they don't have a church family. If they don't have someone they can call on, someone they can go to in time of need. What on earth do people do without God's wonderful family? I love that song, "Can We Sing?" I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I'm thankful, secondly, this morning, 2019, I'm thankful for my family. Thirdly, this morning, I'm thankful on my Christmas list, or my Thanksgiving list. I keep thinking about Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner this week. So if I say Christmas, you'll know I mean Thanksgiving. If I say Thanksgiving, you'll know I mean Christmas. Well, whatever, this morning, thirdly, on my Thanksgiving list, I'm grateful for friends. I'm thankful for friends. What about you? Do you treasure friends out there? I want you to think for just a moment about your friends. Are they there in your mind this morning? I mean, who is your greatest friend that you have? Who is that confidant that you have, that you trust implicitly? You could go to at any time of the night. You could pick up the phone. You could call them. You could share with them about anything that is happening in your life. Do you have that kind of friendship? The Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Have you ever just took the time out of your busy schedule in life to pause and think about what would life be like without friends? Jessica Tandy, as she's talking with Kathy Bates in that movie Fried Green Tomatoes, and they're there talking about the Whistle Stop Cafe, as it is now no longer in view. And Jessica Tandy looks at her and she says, "You know, I think that the best things in life are friends. Are friends. I don't know about you. What about your friends this morning? Do you have that kind of friendship? Do you have that kind of support system in your life?" You see, so many people out there in the world, they're struggling, they're grappling, they're looking, they're searching, they're longing, And let me tell you what, life without friends would be a very unblissful life. Abraham was a friend to God, the Bible says. King David had a heart for God. The disciples had a friend in Jesus. Let me tell you, there's one friend that all of us have this morning. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let me tell you, there is no friend to me like Jesus. The songwriter said, he my every need supplies. He not only saves, but keeps me. Nothing good from me denies. All, yes, all, to me is Jesus, blessed Redeemer, Savior, guide, and from every foe defends me, and in him I'll ever hide. I will never cease to love him, he who died to set me free. Now in him I am abiding, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, in Jesus I'm fully trusting. Yes, through him I'll conquer all, for I know he saves and keeps me, and he'll never let me fall. Let me tell you, on your Thanksgiving list for 2019, do you have your faith? Secondly, do you have your family? Thirdly, do you have your friends? Fourthly, this morning, on my Thanksgiving list, you and I live in such a crazy world today. Young people, I'm so sorry that the world that you're having to grow up in today is so different from the day when I grew up. It was a day when people loved each other. It was a day when people reached out and they helped each other. It was a time that was so much different than the life that you are now having to live. And while there are wonderful things about the present that we would not ever want to give up, but I want you to know, people today don't spend enough time with friends. Let me tell you, a true friend loves at all times. A true friend is one that will give you wise counsel even when you don't want to hear it. A true friend is somebody that will remain loyal to you no matter what happens, no matter what you're guilty of. A true friend is a friend that forgives, and a true friend is a friend that promotes others over their own welfare. Let me tell you, friendships are a gift from God, and while they are a blessing to us, the most blessed friendship you will ever have in life is the friend you'll have in Jesus. Let me tell you, I like what George Eliot, the poet, said. Young people, in your English literature days, perhaps you've studied Eliot, but he said, a friend is one to whom we may pour out the contents of one's hearts, chaff and grain together, knowing that gentle hands will take it and sift it and keep what's worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness blow the rest away. One writer said, the friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, that is a friend who truly cares. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only way to have a friend is to be a friend. Henry David Thoreau said, be true to your work, to your word, and to your friend. And I like this one in particular. A friend knows the song in my heart and sings it to me when my memory fails. I want you to think this morning about the memories that are failing out there in people's lives. A friend knows the song in my heart and sings it to me when my memory fails. In Gene Getz's book on the life of David, he says, what is true friendship? How does it develop? And how is it expressed? These questions, whether we verbalize them or not, are asked in the heart of most human beings. God created you and me to be social creatures. Without friends, our cup of life is only half full. Most of us have lots of acquaintances, but how many of us have true friends? Let me tell you, when you go to the Old Testament, one of the greatest stories of friendship there is found between David, who was just a shepherd boy, and then King Saul's son, who grew up in privilege, Jonathan. But Jonathan and David both had a heart for God. They had an incredible common bond, and they so loved each other that they were the greatest of confidants in their life. When you go to the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul experienced that blinding light on the Damascus Road and scales covered his eyes and he was blind for some 3 days, the Bible tells us about Ananias and Barnabas, how they became such great friends to Paul and introduced him and stood in the gap for him with those disciples that did not want to have anything to do with Paul. And then I think about Jesus and the great friendship that he had with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Let me tell you, what would life be like without friends in our world? I want you to know life would be sad. Our cups would be half full. But fourthly, this morning on my Thanksgiving list is I'm thankful for free speech and freedom to worship freely. I'm thankful for free speech. You and I are living during a time when free speech is being challenged on every hand, from prayers at ball games and football games to lifting hands to the heavens in gratitude. And many of that has caused a great uproar in the world that you and I live in today. And as Christians, I'm grateful this morning that we still, at this particular juncture in American history, we still have our freedom of speech and our freedom to worship God freely. I don't know how long that will last in a world that's ever changing that you and I are living in here in America. But I think one thing that you and I need to remember as Christians passing through this world, that this world is not our final home. One of these days, he will recreate a new heaven and a new earth upon this, the foundation of this world. And it will be there that we will spend our eternity. In the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Let your speech always be with grace." I wish the politicians would learn that. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. When Solomon penned the words in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, he said, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Let me tell you, in our freedom of speech, may you and I always exemplify Christ so that others will see a change and a transformation that they so desperately need. And you and I may be the only Jesus that many of them will ever see. This morning, fifthly, on my Thanksgiving list for 2019 is this: food, my food. I want you to think about, some of you are already thinking about where you're going to eat. You turned me off after the first point, and you're already eating ahead of time. I want you to think this morning, if you couldn't chew your food. I want you to think about people this morning that are stroke victims, that cannot swallow. I want you to think with me this morning that 1 in 5 children in America will go to bed hungry tonight. Did you realize here in Duncan, Oklahoma, there are children in our city that will go to bed hungry this evening? I want you to know 50% of the world tonight will go to bed hungry because they do not have enough to eat. Folks, I want you to know you and I have so much to be grateful for. We have such a nation to be grateful for, and for all of those that have fought so bravely for this nation. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." Let me tell you, the price of freedom is not cheap. We live in one of the most gracious of all nations that we have given all over the world. America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, where we have been able to give generously all over the world to help starving nations. I want you to think about as you sit down at your Thanksgiving table and as you are able to put that food in your mouth and to think about living in freedom and having free speech and being able to worship God freely, to be grateful, to be thankful, to be able to taste your food when there are those who no longer can taste their food. I want you to think with me this morning that one of these days, the Bible says there's going to be a great tribulation upon this earth. There's going to be a great famine, and food is going to be at an all-time low. And there will be thousands and hundreds of thousands who will starve to death. That's so hard for you and me to comprehend when we have so much. I love the lyrics to the song that says, "Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows. Born free to follow your heart. Live free and beauty surrounds you. The world still astounds you each time you look up at a star. Stay free where no walls divide you. You're free as a roaring tide, so there's no need to hide. Born free and life is worth living, but only worth living cause you're born free." Let me tell you this morning, I'm thankful for the freedom that took place at Calvary. It was not cheap. Let me tell you, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for God looking down upon a world that he created, a paradise, and he said to Adam and to Eve, "Here it is. Just don't partake of this tree." And you know the story. And sin fell upon this world. And God looked down upon his world that he created, a perfect environment. And God realized that man had greatly messed it up. And God, because he could not look upon the sin of the world, robed himself in human flesh. And young people, he came as a baby born in Bethlehem. The Bible says that he dwelt among us for 33 years. And then he went willingly to a cross to shed his blood to cover sin so that you and I might live eternally with him. And the Bible says that someday we will rule and we will reign with him. But I want you to know there will be people before that time comes that will starve to death. There will be diseases and pestilences. I heard just this past week that now the superbugs that are out there in the world, that every 15 seconds, somebody dies with the superbug. There are 35,000 deaths every year to infectious superbugs that are antibiotic resistant out there in the world. I could not help but think about that as I was at OU Medical on Friday, going up and down the highways. I was going across the skywalk from the Children's Hospital over to the main hospital. One of the doctors was walking with me, and we were conversing back and forth. And as I watched the banners that were all through that skywalk from U.S. News and World Report saying that the OU Stevenson Cancer Center is in the top 50 in the nation of America, that OU Medical is the top hospital in the state of Oklahoma, and I thought about the days of the tribulation, when diseases will come, when famine will come, when people will be dying right and left. And young people, I thought, to myself, how blessed we are to be able to come to church this morning. How blessed we are, seventh grade girls and boys, as you played in your tournament this week, and congrats to you. And I thought about how blessed we are to be with our family and our friends and have free speech and have our freedom, and to have our freedom in Christ, and to be able to worship together and to sit down at a table and to eat your food and to be able to swallow it and not be bound by a feeding tube or a stroke in your voice, or to have all your taste buds where they no longer can taste the food. I realize that you don't deal with those things, but I deal with those things every day, because I'm around people that those things have happened to. What's on your Thanksgiving list for 2019? Number one, my faith. Number two, my family. Number three, my friends. Number four, my free speech. Number five, my freedom. Number six, my food. And lastly, my future. My future. My future. Let me tell you, the sky may fall tomorrow. The economy could fall tomorrow, but my future is secure in the hands of Almighty God. Because one day I realized I needed Jesus, and that He's the only one who could take away my sins. And it was through His shed blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to cleanse us of our sin through His shed blood. He says here, I want to give you a gift. It's eternal life. But you've got to ask for it. It's yours for the taking. Will you, by faith, reach out and believe that I am Jesus, the Messiah, the one who died for you, the one who shed His blood for you, the one who rose from the dead, the one who made post-resurrection appearances on the earth so people could see that He was who He said He was, and then in the presence ascend into heaven and say, I'm coming back one of these days, just like I'm going. I'm coming back in the clouds one of these days. Let me tell you, regardless of what happens tomorrow, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know He holds my hand. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep what I committed unto Him against that day. Do you know Jesus? Is your future on your Thanksgiving list? You see, I'm thankful that there's a greater day. I'm thankful that Jesus is coming again. Young people, the Bible says He's going to come out of heaven one of these days. And He's going to step out in the clouds, and He's going to call His children home. And the Bible says we'll be with Jesus during that 7-year period of time, where He is going to reward us for what we've done for Him in this life. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Down here on this earth will be those that are left behind. You see, if they take the mark of the beast, they will be forever lost. If they don't take the mark of the beast, many of them will die for their faith. They will become martyrs. Let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says at the end of that 7 years, when there's been all of that bloodshed and war and pestilences and diseases, the heavens are going to open. And Jesus and the saints of God, the angels, are coming back to this earth. Jesus will stop that battle over there in the Middle East, in the Holy Land. And Jesus will set up His earthly kingdom upon this earth. Let me tell you, the question today is, Jesus is on my Thanksgiving list. Do you know that 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 you have Jesus in your heart? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for reminding us of the great benefits that we have. God, thank you for reminding us of how important every breath of life is. So many families will get together. It will be a sad time for some. It will be a joyous time for others. God, may we be reminded of how grateful, how thankful that we are for all of the things that you have done for us. Father, if there's someone listening today, wherever they may be, that doesn't know you, may they reach out by faith and receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, this is your invitation. Holy Spirit, speak, I pray, in Jesus' name.